This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
He was named before he was born, long before he was born. I guess the first name that he had was the woman's seed, the promise made to Adam and Eve after their fall into sin, that the woman's seed would crush the serpent's head. And from there on, Old Testament, New Testament, his names multiply. Each name tells us not only who he is, but what he does for us as sinners. On this Friday, September the 24th, we're going to be talking about the names of Jesus. Dr. Norman Nagel will be our guest. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our guest in this hour is Dr. Norman Nagel, Professor Emeritus of Systematic Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Now, we recorded this interview with Dr. Nagel last week at Laclede Groves Lutheran Senior Services in Webster Groves, Missouri. I began our conversation on the names of Jesus, asking Dr. Nagel, what is in the name of Christ?
Each of the names of Jesus tells us something about him. And so when you pray to Jesus, you call on the name that has in it what you're praying about. And so when next time you read the Gospels, make a list of all the names that you come upon that Jesus is called. And if you start with the Gospel according to St. Matthew, there you will come across the angel. And what angels, they bring, the messages that they bring, they are sent to bring by the Lord. And so you can be sure that they're right. And there the angel says to Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. When you come upon a name of Jesus, you always ask, what's the verb that does his name? And with the name of Jesus, then, he does that name as he is our Savior. Christ means the anointed one. And in Scripture, to be anointed is to be given a great task to do. So kings and prophets are anointed. So to say Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Christ means he's the one who is given the job to be our Savior and save us from our sins. It's because of Jesus that there is forgiveness for our sins, because he has borne them all and answered for them. The name of Jesus, of him as our sin-bearer in our place, that's what John the Baptist called him, remember? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So when you think of your sins now, ask, where are they? They aren't with you anymore. Jesus has taken them and carried them to the cross and answered for them. So if you are wanting your sins to be forgiven, you pray to Jesus, Lamb of God. If you can't pull your prayer out of the name of Jesus, don't bother, because those are the prayers that he has promised to answer. So when you pray, you meditate on who he is, and that by you think of that by what are his names. And when you call upon his name, you don't call upon just any old name. The names don't equal each other. There is much overlap, but also each name has a specific something about Jesus that it tells us. And that's the something that we take hold of when we pray in that name. Also from the angel, he has the name Emmanuel, as was promised to him in the Old Testament. When you read through the Old Testament, there you make a list of all the names that the Messiah is called, Now, Messiah means anointed one. The same, the Messiah is the Hebrew for Christ, which is the Greek way of saying Messiah. Now, anointing was always done with oil. Remember when the prophet Samuel went to Jesse to anoint one of his sons as the king. He looked over all the sons and they said, aren't there any more? And then Jesse said, oh yes, there's one boy more who's out minding the sheep. And that was, David was a shepherd boy. And when they called him in, Samuel said, he's the one. And then Samuel anointed him with oil to be the next king after Saul. So Jesus is the Christ, that is the anointed one, the one whose task it is. And those tasks are also in his name. And so as the Christ, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament and all that was promised with the Messiah. And so we're still at the beginning of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and there you get the genealogy of Jesus. And Matthew said, did you notice there were three parts to it? And the three parts are divided according to when there was no king, then the time there was a king, and then there's king again. And that's where it comes out into the New Testament with, where is he who is born king of the Jews? And so there you have another name for him, king. So already we've done Jesus Christ, King, and Emmanuel. Whenever you have E-L on your name, that the E-L abbreviates the Old Testament name for God. And so Nathanael is gift of God. Samuel, Nathanael, and Emmanuel. The L is, Emmanuel is with us, and L is God. That confesses where Jesus is going. That's going on there is God. And that's the wonderful way in which Gospel according to St. John begins. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is another name for Jesus. He is God's Word. He communicates God for us. If you want to know about God, then hang around with Jesus for a while, and he shows you what God is like for you. Remember, in Matthew, he will save his people. So that gives his, the precious name of Jesus is Savior. The Hebrew form for the name of Jesus is Joshua, who led the children of Israel into the promised land. And you remember how Holy Week begins when Jesus comes by way of Jericho to do his final work at Calvary and Easter. And in John, you watch out for all those places, the great I Am sayings. The great I Am is from the name Jehovah or Yahweh in the Old Testament. There Jesus is identified with the God who runs the whole Old Testament.
Dr. Nagel, talk about before and after the Incarnation. What was in the name before the Incarnation, and then after the Incarnation, where the name is specifically applied to Jesus himself?
When the name becomes Jesus' name, he's the one who gives the name its definition by what he does and says. And so the work that he does with the name of Jesus is that he saves us from our sins. And the work that he does with us as Emmanuel is when, where he is, there we can call upon him. And that's the wonderful thing about being baptized, where he puts his name upon us with the water, as you have at the end of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, where the apostles are sent to make disciples by doing two things, by teaching and by baptizing. Where the Lord puts his name, there he commits himself to be. Remember the prayer at the dedication of the temple when Solomon prayed about the Lord putting his name where the temple was, and that there they could pray toward the temple and call on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord is one of the names for Christians in the book of Acts. First of all, they are called Christians in Antioch. And that's why baptism is also called a christening, a christing of a person. That anoints us as his children and as his servants. So when you come upon a name of Jesus, you ask, what's the verb that he does with that name? And so the name that the work that he does with the name of Jesus is Savior. The work that he does with the name of Christ is fulfilling all the promises that God made through the whole Old Testament. And the genealogy at the beginning of Matthew is like a quick whip through a summary of the whole Old Testament history. Remember, it begins with Abraham and David, and then all the generations in between, how the promise was handed on and finally kept when Jesus is born.
We'll come back to our interview with Dr. Norman Nagel on the names of Jesus on the other side of this break. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. It's Friday afternoon, September the 24th. He leaves us at the Incarnation. Well, when we come back, when Jesus is born, when he takes on human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary, those names that had been, for the most part up to this point, promise and prophecy, they now are lived out by Jesus. He shows us what kind of a Savior he is. He himself defines by his very life and action and word what it means to save sinners from their sins. And he shows us what all of his names mean by doing what those names say. He runs those names. They don't run him. We don't get to tell him what kind of a Savior or God or Messiah he is. He shows us with his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection. We'll pick up on the Incarnation with Dr. Norman Nagel, talking about the names of Jesus after this.
Our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Norman Nagel is our guest. We're listening to an interview recorded with him last week on the names of Jesus. He's Professor Emeritus of Systematic Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. After introducing the subject of Jesus' birth, Dr. Nagel picked up on how Jesus begins to live out those names in human flesh for our salvation at his incarnation.
With the incarnation, then, you have God doing his being God in human form. In the small catechism, we confess both those things of him. I believe in Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. As a man, he shares with us all that it is to live our lives as human beings. He knows that from the inside. He's the one who is our Saviour and our Lord. The Emmanuel name comes to superb confession from Thomas a week after Easter, when Jesus is there, and Jesus says to Thomas, Jesus identifies himself as the crucified one when he shows Thomas his hands and his side. It is the crucified one who is there dealing with Thomas. And Jesus says, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And the Jesus that we believe is the one who is confessed then with all the names that have been given us for calling upon him. And so when you pray in Jesus' name, you are praying with a certainty that is as sure as his name is. And so we end up our prayers, and this we ask in for your name's sake, or in Jesus' name, because we know that he has promised us what we are asking for with that name. So the small catechism does a wonderful job confessing the names of Jesus, true God and true man. There isn't any God left out of Jesus that doesn't come with him. When we confess the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, it's not as though the persons of the Trinity are only one-third of God and you put them all together and you get the whole lot. But the triune name is the name with which we are baptized, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you pray to one person of the Holy Trinity, there isn't any God that's left out of the God upon whom you are calling. In the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed for their task. And so Christ is anointed. And you remember the first promise of Messiah followed the first sin in the Garden of Eden when they rebelled against God and could not trust him but thought he was holding out against them with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that was the temptation, to think of God as if he was holding out on them and wasn't really wanting them to have all the gifts that he wanted to give them. And the gifts that he wants to give us are promised us in his name. So for your prayers now, before you start praying, think of the name of Jesus that you are going to call upon. And that's how it goes in the classic form of prayer in the liturgy that we call the collect, where they begin with calling on a name and then they identify something in that name of what he has done or said by doing that name, which is the promise of the gift that we are asking him to give us in our prayer. In the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed. And so Christ, as the anointed one, is also prophet, priest, and king. He is prophet in that he proclaims the message of God. Remember, particularly in Matthew, where his big message is about the kingdom of God, and the Gospels portray him as the king. But when you call Jesus king, he's a king like no other king ever was. As ordinary kings among men are men of power who glory in how much they are able to dominate other people and tell them, give them orders and make them what to do. It's in John where Jesus speaks of his coronation, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And that is what happens at Calvary. That was written on the top of the cross, remember, I-N-R-I, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He is the King there that is answered, that answers the question of the wise men at the beginning of Matthew. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? That is answered at Calvary with the superscription. When a man was executed, they published the reason why he was executed by putting a little notice on the top of the cross, and that's with Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So with the name King, then turns out to be the opposite of the way we usually think of a king, as somebody with swords and tanks and guns who can make people do what he wants them to do. But Jesus isn't a king like that. He is a king who suffers himself to be rejected, who doesn't have anybody in his kingdom because he has put a gun in their ribs and made them here. He does not compel or coerce anybody to belong to him. And so you live with Jesus as that kind of a king, and don't try and turn him into a king because you want him to have his power on your side. Jesus is most king when he hangs on the cross. So in the Gospel according to St. Mark, which begins, "The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God," and that promises you that the Gospel according to Mark is going to tell about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so you start reading, and you keep reading in Mark, and he isn't identified as the Son of God until you come to Calvary and you hear the Gentile centurion. He's the first one in the Gospel according to Mark who gives a full confession of Jesus as the Son of God. Earlier in the Gospel, there were people who wanted to make Jesus a king so he would do for them what they wanted him for. Jesus has his way of being a king. Jesus has his way of being a Messiah. And so, with each of the names, we watch how he defines it by what he does, how he does that name. And when you are given that name to call upon, that means he does that for you too, particularly when he has put his name on you and so made you his temple. The temple is where the Lord puts his name. So it was confessed in Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. And so we rejoice at a baptism where the Lord puts his name on someone and says, "This is one of mine, belongs to me." You know, we have the habit, if you buy a book, then you write your name in it so that everybody will know it's your book and not somebody else's. Something like that, the Lord puts his name on us at our baptisms. And there he says, where he puts his name, he promises to fulfill his name. And so the Small Catechism says at the beginning every day, we should recall our baptism and make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, "In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." That means we are asking the Lord, who has given us this new day, that he would be for us in the new day, doing his names. And that we appeal to him, we call upon him for, when we call upon his name, the name that he put upon us at our baptism. So when you read Matthew, you learn most about the kingdom of God. Are you in that kingdom? The answer to that question isn't one that you give. It's one that he gives. And at your baptism, he said, "Yes, you are in my kingdom." And as your life today, and you ask, "Am I in Christ's kingdom?" That is the question. Does my life go on where Jesus is King, King Jesus? Then you are in the kingdom of God. And he is your king in that kingdom, the same way as he was king on the cross in your place, answering for your sins at Calvary. If you don't have any sins, then you don't need a Savior. And the Savior who is there, the only one, is the one who saves you from your sins. If you try to use him for something else, that's not something he's promised for you. And so there are those who try to make Jesus into another sort of king or into another sort of Jesus than he actually said and did that he was. And the victories he wins in that same way, with a love that takes our place and answers for all our sins, so that we need no longer to think of bearing our own sins when he has borne them for us in our place.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation recorded earlier with Dr. Norman Nagel on the names of Jesus. He's Professor Emeritus of Systematic Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. So far, it's become quite clear. All the names of Jesus find their definition at the cross where he gives his life for the life of the world. When we come back, we'll talk about the centrality of that cross and how what Christ did there is delivered to us today. Are you looking for a new devotional resource? Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is titled God Granted, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase God Granted by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Christ-centered, cross-focused devotional resource, God Granted, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lack of parental consent law leaves one mother in the dark about her daughter's abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The mother of one Seattle high school student was shocked to learn the health center at her daughter's school helped her get an abortion during school hours. Though the mother consented for her child to go to the health center, she had no idea it could or would facilitate an abortion. But her daughter was given a pass, put in a taxi, and sent to an abortion clinic where the procedure took place. Washington State is one of a handful of states with no parental notification or consent law.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
Well, when we left off with our conversation on the names of Jesus with Dr. Norman Nagel, he was talking about the cross of Jesus Christ, how all the names of Jesus are ultimately defined by Christ's sacrificial death for us sinners. Let's get back to the interview. How the cross and all its benefits are delivered to us here today.
That's why we delight to have a crucifix hanging on the wall in our homes. The people who live here are those whose sins are forgiven because of Calvary. Calvary achieved our salvation, and then Jesus saw that it was delivered to us by the apostles whom he entrusted to teach us all that he had taught them, and that we would believe on him by way of the apostolic words and witness in John 20. And then there are all the promises of King Jesus, who brings his kingdom to final blessedness in heaven. When you die and it's judgment day, the one who is your judge is the one who has already answered for all your sins. And you can lay on his name, claim his name as your Savior in the day of judgment. And so you face that day, your death, without fear. But you live and die within the forgiveness that he has given to you. And so the Christian life is how forgiven sinners live, with him who is their Savior and our Lord.
Dr. Nagel, talk about in the Gospels where we see Jesus taking this name upon himself, accepting this name, and doing what this name says about him.
In the Gospel of Mark, the first thing that you hear about Jesus is that he is baptized, and there the name is put upon him by the voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. That quotes from the book of Isaiah, where the word is servant, and the word servant is interchangeable with son. And so at his baptism, the name is put upon him with which all of the messianic salvation was promised by the prophet Isaiah, most notably Isaiah. We call them the suffering servant songs in Isaiah. There are seven of them. When you read Isaiah, watch out for them particularly, with all the servant songs. And Jesus is identified by his Father's voice at his baptism as the one who fulfills all those promises. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And after Jesus' baptism comes the temptation, and the temptation is for him to doubt his name, and that is what Satan suggests. If you are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread, or if you will bow down and worship me, you can have all the kingdoms of the world. But through the temptation, Jesus holds to the name that was given him at his baptism, and that name, servant, Son of God, laid on him the cross, the answering for our sins, as was promised. So the Lord delivered his message by way of the prophets of the Old Testament, and then Jesus appoints the apostolic ministry for delivering those words after his resurrection and ascension into heaven, so that people might believe on him by way of the apostolic words, the words that we have set down for us in the New Testament. So when you read the New Testament, Jesus is talking to you by the mouth of his apostles whom he appointed to speak his words. Now Jesus in John says, "The words that the Father gave me to say, I give them to say on and carry through all the words." And the words that communicate Jesus, among the best of them, are the names that we are given to call upon him. And so it's good, before you pray, you listen to him for a little bit, you read the scriptures, and then you pray the scripture that you have just read, so that the words of the Lord are what creates your praying. When you say back to him, you use the words that he has used talking to you. And that's how it goes in the liturgy on from Israel. "I am the Lord your God." And the response is, "You are the Lord our God." That's the best liturgy of all, which just repeats back to God what he has said to us. And so the best liturgies are just full of scripture, full of the words of the Lord. The Lord says, "You are my people." And then we answer, "We are your people." Or with Psalm 100, "We are your people and the sheep of your pasture." And that brings us to one of the most precious names of Jesus, the 23rd Psalm. How in John chapter 10, Jesus identifies himself as the fulfillment of that psalm. And all the hymns then that sing to him, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green." You remember in John, when Jesus feeds the 5,000, John says, there was a lot of grass in the place. There were pastures green, and they were beside the still waters. So one of the first things to do with the name of Jesus is, where in the Old Testament are we promised such a Messiah as Jesus turns out to be? And then, what are the ways in which Jesus exceeds the promises? In the Gospel of Mark, repeatedly, people come to Jesus to see if they can use him for their purposes and fit him into their notion of how God ought to be. And when Jesus was God in a way that they didn't think was right for God, they rejected him. If they were going to keep God the way they wanted him to be, then they had to get rid of Jesus. If ever you think of pushing Jesus out of your life, what is it that you think of wanting to have in his place? Have you made up another sort of God than comes through to you in Jesus? And in Mark, he is most Son of God when he hangs dead on the cross. What sort of a Son of God is that? Who wants a crucified Messiah? And that's why he was so much rejected, because they were wanting another kind of king, a king who would drive out their enemies and put them up as kings in their place. Jesus refuses to be any other sort of king than the one he is given to be with his names. You remember in Gethsemane, Peter thought he would help Jesus with his sword, and Jesus told him to put that away. He wouldn't do any good thing for the kingdom of Jesus with a sword. And how in Christian history there have been Christians who have thought to use sword and coercion for forcing people to confess Jesus. So if anybody puts to you a Jesus who's valuable because of the power that you can get on and use for your purposes, they've made up a different Jesus than the one whose names we are given to confess. So stay close to the names of Jesus, and each of them confessing something uniquely special about him. What's in it in each name of Jesus? What's the verb that goes with that name that he does? And not just does anywhere, but does for you. And the for you is the wonderful part of the gospel when it is proclaimed. When you are baptized, there is no doubt about it who it is that is being baptized. When he puts into your mouth his body and his blood for the forgiveness of your sins, the most precious words in the Lord's Supper are the for you words. The Catechism says that the for you words are the next most important thing after the body and blood, because the body and blood given and shed for you are all the blessing they want to be for you when you say Amen to the words of Jesus. And so in the old liturgy, when the communicant was given the body of Christ into his mouth, the communicant said, Amen, truth, Lord. What you say is true, and that is the Amen for us to say after each one of the names of Jesus, the precious Saviour in whom are all the blessings that are promised us in his names. And some names make clear what blessings he is eager to give you. And our faith is nothing other than what is given to us through his words and through baptism and through his body and blood. And at your baptism, the sign of the cross was put on you to mark you as one redeemed by Christ, the crucified. It's by Calvary that your sins have been answered for, and that you no longer have to live imprisoned by them or enslaved by them, but you are now freed by the forgiveness of sins that has been delivered to you by his words that the apostles and the apostolic ministry that follows on them has delivered to you. In John chapter 6, when some people turned away from Jesus and no longer walked with him, Jesus said to those who remained, "Will you also go away?" And then they answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And the best words of eternal life are the names of Jesus.
We'll take another break. When we come back, 10 more minutes in our interview on the names of Jesus with Dr. Norman Nagel, Professor Emeritus of Systematic Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We'll talk about how some of these names of Jesus applies to pastors today. We'll be right back. Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page, or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
The conclusion of our interview with Dr. Norman Nagel on the names of Jesus on this Friday afternoon, September the 24th. For the next 10 minutes of the program. It is curious that Jesus does assign some of his names, the names that Scripture gives to him, to pastors today in the church. That's where Dr. Nagel picked up.
That's in John 20, where Jesus talks about holy absolution. And he says to his apostles, both then and following, "Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." That's in John chapter 20. And so we can turn to pastor or priest as the one who has been entrusted by the Lord to deliver his forgiveness. And the name pastor there is best of all, because pastor is the Latin word for shepherd. And the New Testament talks about Jesus being the bishop and shepherd of our souls, and pastors and ministers are then spoken of as the under-shepherds, put there by him to deliver the message of salvation. What we call the clergy is not so important as what the Lord has put them there for. And so we should claim our pastors, our under-shepherds, calling on them to do what the Lord has given them to do. And that's in the liturgy where the pastor says, "The Lord be with you," and we respond, "And with your spirit." That reminds the pastor of his ordination, where he was given to do the delivery job that is done with the words as they carry the message of salvation. Jesus said, "Into all the world, beginning in Jerusalem and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, some parts of the world haven't received that message yet, and there you can help that there would be those sent who would carry the message, all the mission work of the church. Jesus pulls us into that with his names. And in John chapter 10, he talks about the flock that he had with Israel. And then he says, many other sheep that I have, more than this flock. And of all those who have not yet learned, will be drawn into calling on the name of Jesus. We have rejoiced in the name of Jesus for the for you part of it. He is King for you. He is Lord for you. He is Savior for you. And surely as he has put his name on you in your baptism, and as surely as he gives you his body and blood to eat and to drink, so surely he has answered for your sins, is your Savior and your Lord. The worst thing that can happen with the clergy is that they begin to act and talk as if they had taken over from the Lord and that their words were the Lord's words. When a man is made a pastor at his ordination, he is pledged to teach and preach nothing but what the Lord gives him to preach and to teach, that is, what the Scripture gives us to confess. And that's what we expect when we go to church. And if our preacher preaches something that he didn't get out of Scripture, we admonish him of his ordination vow and that he was pledged to preach nothing of his own wisdom, but only of what there is in the names of Jesus. When you call on the name of Jesus, if you have called on what's in his name for you, he can't ever say, I don't want to be that name anymore. He cannot forsake his names. And that's the prayer that he has promised to answer, the one that we pull out of his name. If we pray to Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, he can't say, that's not what I'm here for anymore, because he cannot wriggle out of the name of Jesus, nor does he want to. He wants most of all to do his names. Go to church and listen to the sermon. Is that sermon delivering Jesus with all his names, or is it another sort of Jesus that's being put there? You belong where all the names of Jesus are called upon, for all the gifts that he gives us, his names, to be asking him for when we pray in his name, so that our prayers are as strong as the names of Jesus. And you remember how in the Psalms, the prayers are often asking the Lord to remember his promises in his name. So when next you pray the Psalms, watch out for the name that is being prayed and called upon there. And that's why the 23rd Psalm is so precious to us at funerals. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That is Shepherd Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And you remember in John it says, the Good Shepherd is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. And Ezekiel speaks of the shepherds who just do it for their own comfort and advantage and power. And how the Lord says, I think it's Ezekiel 24, he will push aside those shepherds who serve themselves and do not care for the sheep. So pray for your pastor that he is worth the name pastor, that is really Jesus' name, and Jesus shares it with his ministers whose job it is to carry forward his message through the world. And we call them pastor, not because they replace Jesus. That they can never do. They're only worth what they deliver to us of Jesus. And so after church, say to your pastor, thank you, pastor, for the Jesus we heard about today. And then go on your way rejoicing as one who lives in his kingdom, where Jesus is King, is Lord and Savior. And so, as the small catechism bids us do, we begin and end each day by calling upon the name that was put upon us at our baptism. We may desert him, but he will never desert his name. With his name, he commits himself to be there for us in the way in which each of his names promises him to be.
Finally then, Dr. Nagel, you've mentioned several times here what happens among Christians on Sunday morning. How does the liturgy, in particular, confess the names of Jesus?
If you look carefully at a good liturgy, you'll find that almost all the words come from Scripture. If the liturgy doesn't come from Scripture, it's not worth much. And that's why we aren't so happy when people make up their own liturgies. The only liturgies that do the Lord's job are the ones that have his words. The Lord's promise is for his words, not for ours or the pastor's, but the Lord's words. These are the ones that he is committed to stick with and carry through with. That's the truth that carries through all generations, as it is confessed in Psalm 130. His truth abides through all generations. And so from our Christian parents to our Christian children and beyond them too, the precious gifts are handed on. And in that handing on, we need to count on one another as Christians. And that's what congregations are for, that we gather helping one another to receive and live out the gifts that Jesus gives us in the liturgy.
Dr. Norman Nagel is Professor Emeritus of Systematic Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Nagel, it is always a pleasure. Thank you again for letting us come over and have our conversation with you.
Good things. Can't do better than the names of Jesus.
Folks, if you've enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Norman Nagel on the names of Jesus, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can make a financial contribution by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. The address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. You can make a secure online contribution as well at our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support. In his name, we have absolute certainty. With his name put on us, we have absolute security. The name that bespeaks us righteous, that secures the forgiveness of sins for us, the name in which we live, the name that we are marked by God with as his children, all these names show us how abundant Christ's mercy, forgiveness, and salvation are for us. All these names show that this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the second person of that Trinity, incarnate in human flesh, is bent upon our salvation and desires the salvation of the whole world. It will be this name, finally, that will bend our knee on the last day in praise of him. St. Paul says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.